fast in different ways on Tisha B'Av. After we hold ourselves back from eating and drinking, sometimes I think that there's a different fast. It's a social fast. Sometimes Tisha B'Av is the time when you see people that you feel close to that you haven't seen in a while, and there is an Isser Sheol Shalom. Everyone's not allowed to greet in the normal way. Hello, how are you doing? And that's also a sort of a tinus. I'll hold myself back from that now also, despite being among a special chevra. A special chevra who no doubt are fasting, saying kinos, and maybe trying to figure out what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do on Tisha B'Av? Maybe that sounds like a funny question. But if we're honest with ourselves, maybe it's a very authentic question. What are we actually supposed to do? What are we supposed to accomplish? The Rambam has something very surprising to say. Rambam has a Hilchos Tanios, a section dedicated to fasting. The first four prakim are about fasting for present crises. There's a lack of rain, some other crisis in Eretz Yisrael. Mishnayos and Tanis speak about this, and the first four chapters of Rambam's Hilchos Tanis are dedicated to that. How Klal Yisrael daven with particular intensity, how we fast in the Chatzotros at a time of crisis. And then the last parak is about what we usually think about when we talk about the Tanis. The fifth chapter of Hilchos Tanis is about a Tanis that relates back to what was. Yesham Yamim, Rambam writes, Parak Hei Aloch Aleph, Shekol Yisrael Misanim Behem. There are days when the entire Jewish people fast, not because of the present crisis, but Pnei HaTzaras She'iru'u Behem, because of tzaras that have happened to us in the past. No doubt we're familiar with the phrase that the Ramban in his Sefer Avelos gives great focus to. Avelos Yishana versus Avelos Chadasha. Avelos Chadasha is when we're mourning over a fresh loss, a person lost a relative. And Avelos Yishana is Avelos of Tishra, the Avelos that we build up to, the Avelos of something that happened a long time ago, Avelos Yishana. But what's fascinating is the Rambam goes on to use the word Kedei. We fast on these days, and he goes on to say, Halacha Beis, Halacha Gimel, Shosha B'Tishrei, Asiri B'Teves, Shivasar B'Tamas, and it gives you a little bit of the background of what happened each of those days. And Halacha Gimel is devoted to Tisha B'Av, and the Chamisha Dvarim Eiru Bo, the five great Churbanos that happened in different years, in different centuries, in different Tisha B'Avs, based on the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tanis, when we accepted the words of the majority of the Meraglim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it would be another 40 years before we went into the Midbar, destruction of the first base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash, and the destruction of Beitar, and the Turnus Rufus redoing the Churban of the Har HaBayis. But it's not just about the past, because there's a Kedei. We fast because of the tzaras that happened to us on this day, and many tzaras have happened. Kedei, in order to, it sounds right away like we're talking about an action step. Kedei la'orer ha'levavos l'vtoach darchei ha'tshuva. We fast and we commemorate what happened in order to wake ourselves up, in order to open the pathways of tshuva. So it's not just a day to think retrospectively, to look back to the past, but it's a day to open ourselves up, to unlock ourselves within, and to prepare ourselves to do tshuva. V'yiyazizi karon l'maseinu hara'im, maseh avoseinu shahaya k'maseinu ata. It's a day to look back, to look, as we saw over the course of the kinos, there's a fair amount of tziduk hadin in Eicha, in the kinos. We talk about events that happened to us, and we talk about bad decisions that we made. That's tziduk hadin. We recognize what happened, and we recognize it's not easy, but we recognize that, and we don't always fully see all the details, but we recognize we pronounce the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've made plenty of bad decisions. Previous generations did Averus. We have done Averus. Ashagon lehem v'lanu osanat saros. And we consider the fact that their achatam caused these tzaros and our achatam continued these tzaros. But once again, the Rambam shifts. This is starting to feel very deep and very morose, and just to wallow in our chet. The Rambam once again turns it towards something practical and forward-looking. So what's the point of, what are we supposed to gain? What are we supposed to accomplish from immersing ourselves in past and present chet? Shebezichron devarim elu nashuv lehitin. Because when we think about this, and we remember it, and we consider it, and we confront it, and we're honest about the fact that we have suffered, and we're honest about the fact that we have done wrong, nashuv lehitin. The goal of all this negativity is something positive, is we can turn ourselves around and do good. We can do tshuva, we can shift gears, we can shift tracks, we can shift paths. For our chataim, for the chataim of the avos. What the Rambam did in that last line, according to that pasuk, is to choose a new verb to describe the kinos. Because we're describing the kinos as a vidui. We're being misvade. And we said, L'cha Hashem atzadaka v'lanu boshos ha'panim, that staccato kina. Again and again, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us this gift. V'lanu boshos ha'panim, we're so embarrassed because we did this chet. And again and again and again. That's a vidui. Now vidui is very different than hesped. The kinos, on the one hand, they're a hesped. The hesped is a eulogy for someone who's lost. But the Rambam is saying, but the kinos are also a vidui. We're recognizing what we did wrong, but vidui is meant to be a step towards a better tomorrow. Vidui is meant to be a step towards, I can change and I can grow and I can do different the next time the situation comes around. So tshuva is certainly not the only theme, the only mood or mode on Tisha B'Av. But the Rambam was highlighting, this is his introduction. After Halacha Aleph, the entire rest of Parakeh is devoted to the Tanyos in general, to Tisha B'Av in particular, and to the days that lead up to Tisha B'Av, all the halachas. And then he talks about Zeichel and Mitzvahs throughout the year. The way the Rambam frames all of these dinim is with this idea. That yes, Tisha B'Av is a retrospective day, it's a day to look back, and a day to recognize our tzaros that we've had and that we have at Ayom HaZeh, to recognize the chataim that we have done and do at Ayom HaZeh, but it's a vidui, because there's an opportunity, nashuv lehetiv. That's a remarkably, potentially positive note. Potentially positive because it's on us. There's an opportunity, and we have to recognize it, and then we have to be willing to seize it. And so much of the avoda of Tisha B'Av is verbal. Saying Eicha and saying Kinos and Hesped and Vidui, both are verbal. So I thought maybe it would be a good moment for us to think about, to look at two areas, two verbal parts of our lives. And to look at two verbal parts of our lives and how we could make changes and how we can improve. So I thought maybe we could make use of a trio of Rambams, a triple crown of Rambams. They each will give us what to think about. We already opened with the beginning of the Rambams, this Tanya's Parakeh. And we want to look now at two specifics. I want to spend a little bit of time on the way the Rambam opens the last chapter of Hilchas Deos, and then the way the Rambam closes the fourth chapter of Hilchas Tefillah. Hilchas Deos, near the beginning of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah in Sefer Hamad, Hilchas Deos opens with issues of Tikkun Amidos, of character development. He moves in the first two Prakah, he moves on to a very powerful third parak about a balanced, healthy, holy approach to physicality. A very, very nuanced parak. He moves on to talk about conduct in other senses. The fourth parak is about, a healthy conduct, a healthy lifestyle. The fifth parak is about holding oneself to a higher standard of Derech Eretz, particularly if one is a Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chachamim. I'm not a Chacham, but I'm a student of Chachamim. I'm a Ben Yeshiva, and this sort of elevated degree of Derech Eretz that I hold myself to. And then the final two Prakim Hilchos Deis, Prakim Vav, Perek Vav, Perek Zayin, are dedicated to the mitzvahs b'nam l'chaver. And Perek Vav is a broad array of mitzvahs b'nam l'chaver. Ava, the mitzvah of Ava Yisrael, and the Yisrael of Sinas Yisrael, and how Tochacha is supposed to play out. Particular people that were meant to have a heightened sensitivity, to whom we're supposed to have heightened sensitivity. Perek Zayin is largely devoted to a single area within the world of Bnei Chaveru, and that is Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha. What we usually refer to as the Easter of Lashon Hara. I want to take a look with you for a couple of moments at how the Rambam lays it out. We're going to see that there's a lot of nuance the way he lays it out, and there's a lot of ambition peeking out from the nuance in the way he structures these dinim. Hamaragel b'chaveru over below, so I say. The Rambam organized all of Torah Sheva'al Peh around the framework of mitzvot. Rambam saw 613 mitzvot as the building blocks of halacha and of Torah Sheva'al Peh as a whole. And he organizes his Mishnah Torah, which was meant to be an abstract, a digest of all of Torah Sheva'al Peh, the essential Torah Sheva'al Peh. He organizes it using the mitzvot. And every section is dedicated to, let's elaborate on the following mitzvot. So he'll typically open a new topic by identifying, we're about to talk about the following mitzvahs asay, following mitzvahs los asay, and then let's get into the details. So he opens Perek Zayin, hamiragel b'chaveru over below sase. If I miragel someone else, not a word we usually use in common conversation, we're talking about raglim, but we talk about them usually as only those 12. But to be miragel someone, over below sase, I violate a law of the Torah, shenemer lo seilech rachil b'amecha. Ah! Rachel and Rachel, those are related words, cognate words. The Isser lo seilech Rachel b'amecha, we recognize that as the place where the Torah tells us not to speak Lashon Hara. The terminology the Torah is using is rechilus, lo seilech Rachel b'amecha. And the Rambam goes on to say this is not, before he gets into details, he expands, he spends a couple of moments just to recognize the magnitude of the issue. Don't be fooled by the fact that unlike many lavin, unlike many surim, this one has no malchus. This one does not carry with it the penalty of malchus, of lashes. Afal pishen lokan lavzeh. For technical reasons, there's no malchus because one of the rules of malchus is that it's only in play on a lav that's active. And here there's no physical action involved in speaking lashon hara. So although there's no malchus, don't let that fool you. Avon gadolhu. This is a chet of unusual magnitude. Gorem laharog nefashos rabbis in Israel. Countless Jewish lives have been lost because of lashon hara run amok. And so he says that's why the Torah puts side by side in Parshas Kedoshim two isurim, lo seilech rachil and lo samal damrayacha, not to trifle with someone else's life, not to be a bystander when someone else is in danger. Says, we're giving you a sense of the fire that you're playing with when you speak without thinking. Okay. It's something we have to take seriously. And with that introduction, Rambam says, let's roll up our sleeves. Now let's talk about the dinim. And first thing we're going to do is figure out what are the categories. And Rambam actually presents that there are four levels. There's your basic, lo seilech rachel, and then there's even worse than that, and worst of all. Let's take a look with careful eyes. Ezehu rachel. Who's a rachel? The basic lav. Zeshehu to'ein devarim v'holeich mizeh lezeh. I carry words. A very vivid image. I fill up my knapsack. I pack my bag with lots of words, lots of things to say about other people. Holeich mizeh lezeh. And I move from this one to that one. Omer. And I say, kafa kach amar ploni. Kafa kach shamati aploni. Oh, this one said this, and that guy said that. This is what I heard about that one. Hak. Gossip. It's true. Or is it machor? It's olam. You could destroy the world with that sort of truth. It's true. It's accurate. Just because it's accurate doesn't mean you have the right to say it. And that's certainly an idea we heard before. Lashon hara is forbidden even if it's true. And that's your basic Easter. At this point, not so surprising. Then the Rambam goes on to say, halacha gimel, Well, as I said before, he has the basic level and then three higher levels. Yeshavim Godol Mizeh Admao. This there's another affair which is even far greater, far worse than this. Who Bichlal loves that included officially in the same Losa say. It's not a different mitzvah in the Tariq mitzvahs, but a far more severe level of Losei Lech Rachel, which is Lashon Hara. Ha-Mesaper Bignus Chadero Afla Pisha Amar Emes. So level two, I speak Lashon Hara. What's Lashon Hara? Rambam says, I'm saying something negative about someone else. It's true. Once again, he says, it's true. It's true that this guy has a bad temper. It's true that he did X, Y, and Z. But it doesn't give you the right to say it. Ha-Omer Sheker, level three, if I say that which is not only negative about someone else, but false as well. I make stuff up. Motzi shemra chaver nigger, slandering someone. That's level three. That's what we call motzi shemra, false lashon hara. And finally, he says, what's the worst of all? Baal lashon hara. If you're a person of lashon hara, you own lashon hara. Or more precisely, you're a lashon hara guy. This yosheva omer kach v'kach asaploni. Ah, I sit and I say this one did this v'kach v'kach yavostav. And you know the. You know all the dirt on his family. You know what I heard about him. The Omer Devar Mishel Ignai, and I say things which are negative. So if you're learning through this Rambam carefully, so right away you're going to want to know, well, if there are four levels, so let's figure out let's define each of the four categories. The question leaps to the eye. Maybe the first question leaps to the eye is, well, Baal Lashon Hara, level number four, sounds the same as level number two. A little also like level number one. Right? Like we said, Lashon Hara is you say negative things about other people. The Baal Lashon Hara also, he's sitting and saying negative things about other people. So what's the difference between Lashon Hara, which is already bad, level two, and the worst of all, which is Baal Lashon Hara? What would you say? What's the difference?
Baal Lashon Hara is
like
constantly doing it. It's more
of a
daily life.
Fantastic. Right? The Baal Lashon Hara was, there was no description of he sits and does it. Level 2 Lashon Hara, beginning of Halacha Gimel, just Misaper Bignus Chaver Afik Shamas. He once said something negative to someone else. Once, it's already a Avon Gadol Ma'od, level 2 Lashon Hara. But if you're Yoshev, the Omer, and the Rambam gives you this like picture. He says this about this one, that about that one, and he has different flavors, what people did, what he heard, what people's families. This guy's like, he's an expert. He's a professional. He's a frequent flyer. If you're a frequent flyer on Lashon Hara Airlines, you're a Baal Lashon Hara. It's not just an act that you once did. It almost defines you. And that's the language you use. You're the Lashon Hara guy. The Baal Lashon Hara, it's not only a matter of you've committed that there more times, but it sounds like it's not just a difference of degree, but a difference of kind. It's affecting your personhood. You become identified by this constant chet. That's a whole other layer of sin. One act of Lashon Hara, occasional Lashon Hara, is already reprehensible. But to do it so often that, this is like, sort of like we've come across people, I won't name them, obviously, but we've come across people, and it just becomes the go-to. It's not that occasionally I speak Lashon Hara for a particular reason. It was wrong, but it was isolated. It becomes that's the way I talk. That's my go. That's the way I roll. That's a Baal Lashon Hara, a habitual, a Lashon Hara person. Okay. So we worked that out. So now we understand level two, level three, level four. An isolated act of saying something negative at someone else, but it's true, level two. Isolated act of saying something negative to someone else, and it's false, level three, motzi shemra. And if it's a habit, if it's the way I roll, that's already, even if it's true, that's level four. But obviously what remains to be understood is level one. Right? That, the truth be told, that's actually the harder question. The more troubling question is, level two sounds like it's this basic entry level Lashon Hara. I'm only saying it once. It's true, but it's negative about someone else. It's your basic garden variety Lashon Hara. So what's below that? What's the most basic? Zehu Rachel. Let's go back to Halacha Beis. to'ein devarim, holeich mizeh lezeh. I'm packing my bags with words about people. This one said this and that. I heard this about that one. And it's true. Why is that less? If anything, right? It sounds a lot like level 4. Yoshev yomer kach v'kach, saploni kach v'kach, kach v'kach. What's level 1? What's missing from level 1?
Yeah. It doesn't say anything negative.
Fantastic. Schreiber nailed it. The Kesef Mishnah says along those lines. Very good point. It's in halacha, in level 4, the Baal HaShanah Rambam added, he's talking about people talking. The Omer Dvarim Shal Gnai, and I'm saying negative things. The first, most basic level, and Gnai appeared in level 2 also, Lashon Hara, Misapri Bigunus Chavero. I'm saying negative things about other people. What's remarkable, Sharp is pointing out, is the basic love of Rachel, you're not saying anything negative about people. He didn't say anything nasty. So, one second. That's a great point. So then, what's wrong? Baal Shinar. I'm just saying neutral things about people. Not a put down, nothing negative. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Right, the technical question of how do you differentiate the levels, but now that once you recognize the massive chiddush halacha beis, what's the love? I didn't say anything nasty. Yeah, what do you say?
Ah,
right. Think of what this is going to lead to. And let's even step back. Forget about other people. What are you doing? Right. This is the basic love is the worst minus the gnai. So you're not a baal lashon hara because you're not saying negative things, but you're constantly talking to other people. He's towing dvarim v'holochim yizel zeh. I'm carrying my things from one to another. That's the way Rashi quotes from the Midrash Chazal. I presume what the Rambam is referring to is other. The rachil, the word rachil may relate to the word rochil, a peddler, a traveling peddler who has his wares in his briefcase, in his cart, whatever it is, and traveling salesman going from place to place with his stuff. So that's what he is. You're not even saying negative things about people, but you're a gossip. You're just hawking about people all day long. You're just talking about people. I didn't say anything negative. I didn't say anything wrong. But apparently that's already an Easter. There is a quote, and I think I might have mentioned to some of you in the past, a quote from the First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, which I came across for the first time in the many, many, many years ago. It was on a poster in the Beis HaMedrash, the Boca Raton Kollel. And the quote, I think, captures what the Rambam was saying almost a millennium ago. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Everyone has to talk about other people sometimes. But if you're if the majority of what you talk about is just talking about other people, not talking about ideas, not talking about events, not talking about Dvar Mishal Mamash, if your speech is just predominantly just gossiping about other people, I didn't say anything negative. There's no one line which isn't kosher. But that picture, the Rambam says, it's not just unimpressive. Being small-minded in that way is a lav d'oraisa. Don't be a gossip. And the Rambam isn't presenting this as a midas chasidus. This isn't a chumrah. He says this is a pasuk in the chumrah. You're saying negative things about people, even occasionally. Whoa, avon gadlam is that? That's really, that's lashon hara. But the basic level is just you're constantly talking to other people. Again, everyone talks to other people sometimes. That's a part of It's a part of what needs to happen. But is that the predominant aspect? Is that the predominant ingredient? What's the first ingredient in your conversations? And imagine this imagine as a cheshbon nefesh, usually having your phone out during cheshbon nefesh is very counterproductive. But imagine doing a cheshbon nefesh with your phone, where you can scroll down your call list, you can scroll down texts you've sent, things you've posted, and see how many of them are about people. am I mostly just talking about people? Or am I mostly talking about Dvarim Shal Mamash? Ideas, events, Chachma Satar, hopefully, at least general Divrei Chachma, things of substance. That's a powerful type of, literally, Cheshbon HaNefesh to make, like, to calculate. I'm not sure the Rambam has given us a particular percentage, a Rove of 51%, a Rove Bari of 75%, but a sense of what's the dominant flavor in your conversation. And again, the Rambam doesn't present this as this is a Chumra, as Mis Chasidus. This is a basic Judaism, 101. That's what a Cheshbon HaNefesh is supposed to be about. Not about looking for Chumras, but doing the things we're supposed to do. We all have things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us that fall through the cracks. For different people, it's different things. For so many of us, as Chazal pointed out almost 2,000 years ago, for so many of us, Lashon Hara is a difficult area to a greater or lesser extent. And this is as I was saying before, if the avoda of Tisha B'Av is so much an avoda of the mouth, an avoda of speech, so this is a powerful cheshbon to make about the overall picture of our speech. And maybe let me share with you one other drama. Let's move from the negative to the positive. And this will round out a triple crown of Rambams. From Hilchas Tanyos to Hilchas Deos to Hilchas Tfilo. Rambam, and we're moving from Sefer Zmanim to Sefer Hamada to the Sefer in between, Sefer Ahava. The Book of Love, where the Rambam looks at mitzvahs that are part and parcel of our day, part and parcel of our lives, and are basic expressions of and catalysts for the sort of relationship, emotional relationship we ought to have and that we can have, that we can cultivate with our Kaddish Baruch. So he talks about Hilchas Tefillah, obviously talks primarily about Tefillah, talks about other things too, about the Berkas Kohanim and laning in Beis HaKnesses, but the bulk of it obviously is dedicated to the halachas of davening. Halachas of davening have definitely been something we've been more attuned to over the last, it's been half a year. It really has been half a year, right? From Adar to Av, it's 5 months. And we've actually thought deliberately about the halachas of tefillah in ways we often didn't, because everything was just sort of routine. You know what was supposed to happen, you went to shul, and maybe you had to mizgaber to make sure to come, maybe you had to mizgaber to make sure to come on time, but, you know, the sort of thing that was a routine to the way the Seder had tefillah. And that all got rocked over the last couple of months. And we've been zochet to read Shuvas by Gedol Yisrael, rethinking everything. Halachas of tefillah aren't just routine, that's the way it is. There are, as in any other area of halacha, there are concepts and there are values and there are hierarchies. And usually, in typical situations, we know how the halachic mechanics play out. But when we're in unusual, radically different situations, all of a sudden you actually notice that the gears, the halachic gears, are turning. And in different situations, the principles of halacha will be applied in different ways. So with the renewed appreciation we have for literally Hilchos, Tefillah, let's take a look at a very central line in the Rambam's Hilchos Tefillah. The fourth parak, Rambam begins, as I mentioned before, he always opens typically with the mitzvah, opens parak aleph. Rambam held that there was a mitzvah daraisa of daily Tefillah. And then he develops different aspects in different prakim, and the fourth parak is dedicated to chamisha dvar ma'akmas ha'tefillah. Other than the timing for tefillah, which he discussed in earlier prakim, there are five other aspects to how you daven, which are absolutely critical. In the next parak, in the fifth parak, he talks about eight aspects that aren't critical, but enhance. But this fourth parak, and we're going to look at the very end of the fourth parak, chamisha dvar ma'akmas ha'tefillah af pishe giyazmani. Even though it's already the right time, there are five aspects about where and how you daven that are absolutely critical. Without it, you're not yotzei tefillah. And the fifth item on the list of five in Perek Dal Halacha Aleph is kavanas halev, concentration of the heart, concentration of the mind. And then the Rambam Kedarko is very methodical. After giving the list of five elements in the first halacha, he goes through each one. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And finally, Perek Dal Halacha Tezvav is up to kavanas halev. This is I mentioned in the list at the beginning of the parak. The kavanas halev is critical. Kavanas halev ketzer. Well, what does that look like exactly? It's called tefillah she'ini b'chavana ena tefillah. The Rambam says that tefillah without kavana just isn't tefillah at all. It's as though you haven't davened. Ve'im hespalel below kavana, if you did daven without kavana, chozer mespal b'chavana, you're going to have to redaven. Okay. So number one, right away he's, as we saw with Lo Se'elech Ruachel also, he opens by first stating, giving us a sense of the gravity of the issue. This is high level. Kavanah is absolutely critical. It isn't just a nice additional mod, a nice additional enhancement. This is absolutely critical. You might notice also that it seems a little bit redundant. I mean, im hispalel below kavanah, chozer mispalel below kavanah. You daven out kavanah, so you gotta re-daven. Okay, so. So why do you have to say it twice? If tefillah without kavanah, it's not tefillah. Davin without kavanah, it's not davin at all. Meaning, so if you davin without kavanah, it didn't work, you got to redo it. So it seems a little redundant. It could have, because the first statement is a very sort of essential programmatic statement. Tefillah without kavanah, it isn't existential, it isn't tefillah, ontological if you prefer. A definition, this is not called tefillah. What does that mean? Okay, if you missed your kavanah, you have to redaven because you weren't yotz the first time. So that redundancy is a little curious. But he goes on to say that since kavanah is so important, he gives you some ideas based in Chazal of the methods that you need. A person comes in to shul, or we've davened many times at home over the last couple of months, but wherever you're going to daven, you're ready to daven, and then you realize, Daito Mishubeshas Libo Tarad. I look in the mirror, as it were, and I realize I'm not, my brain isn't in the zone. My head is all over the place. Don't rush into davening. A guy, it happens to us all the time. Right? You rush into mincha, and they already started, and you jump right in. So maybe it's one of the things that changed. We had so many months where you couldn't be late to davening because it was just you. There was no minyan. Perhaps I think for many of us, part of the coming back to shul was a recommitment to treasuring even the beginning of davening, trying to make sure that we'll be there before the meeting starts, as opposed to showing up just in time to chab kaddish and to chab tefillah b'tzibur. But it's going to happen sometimes, to the best of us, right? And you got held up, it was unavoidable, and you come in, they're already starting Shemoneh Esrei. So my natural instinct is, 3 steps back, 3 steps forward, and off to the races. Rambam says, no. Stop. Breathe. Look in the mirror. I don't mean literally, but look in the mirror. Ask yourself, am I ready? Am I capable of focusing? Am I capable of focusing? If not, breathe deeply, focus, and then, daven. And then, here comes the second surprise. And this is a surprise that Reb Chaim highlights in his Sefer and Rambam. He goes on to ask the question in Halacha Tezai, well, Ketzad hi HaKavana? What is the Kavana? He hasn't yet described the content. What are you thinking about? Now, if I were to ask you, what's Kavana? What does it mean to have one? We often talk about, I want to have more Kavana. What would it look like to have more Kavana? Or what tool? Maybe what's safer would help you to have more kavana. To have more kavana means to? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Understand what you're saying. Right? A tool that would help, especially if I'm not a native Hebrew speaker, an art scroll, sacks, the solar pool, mitsuda, whatever translation you like, right? An English sitter, then I'll know what I'm talking about, right? That'll remind me. I'm not translating in my head what Rifa'inu means and what Tamagar means. No. Kavana means, when I say Rifa'inu, I'm davening for the sick to become healthy, for the healthy to stay healthy. I baruch aleinu, I'm davening that people should find jobs, people should maintain their jobs, the economy should recover, and so on and so forth. I'm davening for Mashiach here, I'm davening for personal struggles there, in Tekah B'Shofar, in Goel Yisrael. The Rambam, though, doesn't say that. Reb Chaim points out, remarkable. Reb Chaim points out, there's Rambam later, many parakim later, who talks about Kavana in a different context. Reb Chaim suggests maybe in the 10th parak, the Rambam is talking about Kavanas Pirish Hamilos, about what the words mean, which strikes us as, well, that's what Kavana means. Watch what he says. And here in our parak Dal, Ketariya Kavana, she yifaneh libo mikol machshavos. You clear your mind of all extraneous thoughts. The yira atzmo kilu hu omelof ne'eshchina. And you imagine, you visualize that you're standing in the presence of Ribbono Shel. And then he goes on to say, and that's where you need to stop and to focus before you start davening. What's missing is any reference to the words, what the words mean, or even the words at all. To recognize that you are standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Reb Chaim Brisker develops the idea that that there are two types of kavana that are necessary uniquely in davening. And he explains that this has to do with the steering gemara. This is how the Rambam responds to steering brachas daflam and brachas daflam adalat. But the gist of the idea is one type of kavana is knowing what you're saying, and that's important, but not absolutely critical. It's good to have throughout the davening, but as long as you have think about what the words mean, the first bracha, die. You've been yotzei, not ideal, but it works. What's this kavana? This kavana, which is more fundamental, it's not what the words mean. It's recognizing what you're doing, recognizing that you are in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kavanas omen lufnei Hashem, as opposed to kavanas pirish hamilos. That's more fundamental. That's interesting because we don't usually think about that kavana at all. And we think, what does kavana mean? Again, pirish hamilos. Interesting. Rambam says pirish hamilos is important. But this one is really fundamental. Why? Why is this so fundamental? What? Again, it sounds like a nice idea, but why is this so critical? And Reb Chaim says, go back to that question with which we begin. Cult filosh ain't become an antiel. Why do I have to say, not just if you miss kavana, do it over, but you have to make this sort of like essential statement. Tefillah without kavana isn't tefillah. So Reb Chaim accesses it very briefly. Okay, read it inside. It all happens very quickly. If you blink, you miss it. Reb Chaim says that there's a concept of misasik in halacha. When halacha deals with intention, we know that there's shogig and there's mezid. Mezid is where I perform a crime, understanding what I'm doing. I understand what I'm doing. I know that's wrong. I did it anyways. And that's the most heinous. And less heinous is shogig. I did it avera, but I didn't realize that it was wrong. I wore the plants, but I forgot that it was Shabbat. I woke up from a long Shabbos afternoon nap on the porch, and I was so disoriented I'd forgotten that Shabbos felt like it was Tuesday afternoon, and I start watering the plants, and I realized, Gevalt Shabbos. Or I had forgotten that it's forbidden, that watering plants is a malacha. I didn't realize what I was doing was wrong. That's shogi, which is a lesser level, but still, you're culpable. It requires kapar. It's a sin, but less so. There's an even lower level, though, which according to many achronim, Achlos, Rekhi, Vegrin, Nesivus, and Reb Chaim is subtly but clearly taking a stand. Gemara is clear that there's no punishment at all if you're misasik. According to many achronim chai among them, it's because it doesn't count at all, as though you didn't do it. What's a misasik? What can be even less than a shogeg? So shogeg is where you didn't realize that what you're doing is wrong, but you knew what you were doing. I knew that I was warning the plants. I just had forgotten that I shouldn't be warning the plants. Misasik, you don't even realize what I'm doing. The Gemara gives a somewhat humorous example. Imagine Shabbos afternoon, and I've got tomatoes on the vine. Tough Shabbos, I spent a little more, nicer tomatoes for Shal Shudas. I'm sitting there Shabbos afternoon, the window's open, the breeze is coming in, I'm slicing tomatoes for Shal Shudas. And then I realize these tomatoes are really on the vine. You know, tomatoes on the vine means there's an extra 2 inches of vine that's attached to it that you get in the store, right? And I realize, hey, one second, these actually are attached to a vine that goes out the window and down into the soil. I didn't even realize when I was slicing the tomato that I was actually detaching half of the tomato from the ground. I was doing an act of kotzer. Not that I didn't realize that it's forbidden to do kotzer on Shabbos. I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't notice that I was detaching a plant from the ground. So that's less than Shabbos. That's misasik. I lack kavanas pu'ula. I lack awareness of what I'm doing. At that point, you're not chayv whatsoever. And according to many achronim, it's because if I perform an act without any awareness of what I'm doing, it's as though I didn't do it. An unintentional act is like there's no actor. Eh, the action happened, but it doesn't relate to me unless I had some intent to do it. I didn't even mean, not that I didn't realize the implications. I didn't realize that I was cutting something from the ground. Walking around outside of an air of all Shabbos, only something in my pocket. I didn't even realize it was something in my pocket. So it's not that I didn't realize what I was doing was auster. I didn't know that I was caring. So says Reb Chaim, if I daven without kavana, it's not a davening. Not just that it wasn't good enough, I wasn't yotze. It's not a davening because I'm misasik. Because you lacked kavanas pu'ula. You weren't aware of the activity that you were doing. That's interesting. So Reb Chaim takes this concept of misasik, kavanas pu'ula, and says, and that's what's going on in this Rambam. Okay, now that deals well with the language. But I want to leave you with a shining chiddush that comes out of it. Because to be misasik is to daven without realizing that you're davening. That's what Reb Chaim says here, right? You daven, but you had no kavanas pu'ula, you had no awareness of what you were doing. Really? What do you mean? What's he talking about here? I came to shul, I opened the siddur, I put on tefillin, I went through the whole seder atzilah. It's just when I was saying Shemona Esrei, I wasn't thinking about the fact that I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wasn't cognizant of the fact that I'm in the presence of Ribbono Shel Olam. But I knew I was davening. I mean, of course I knew I was davening. I wasn't totally on autopilot. I wasn't thinking about Ribbono Shel Olam, but I knew I was davening. How do you call that a lack of kavanas pu'ula? How do you say that I was unaware of the action that I was doing? What emerges, I think, from Chaim, radical, is, well, what does it mean to daven? So I would have said, davening means, you know, saying the words of the siddur. Well, then, if I knew I was saying the words in the siddur, I had kavanas pu'ula. Maybe I didn't do a great job, but I knew what I was doing. But Reb Chaim puts together the puzzle pieces here, and he says, no, if you didn't realize you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you didn't realize that you're engaging in an act of tefillah. Well, if you run that backwards, do the algebra, what that means is to do an act of tefillah is not to say words, because you knew you were saying words. The act of tefillah, the essence of tefillah isn't the words that you say. The essence of tefillah is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amid lefnei Hashem, that's what tefillah is. So if you knew you were saying words from the siddur, but you weren't thinking about the fact that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you knew you were saying words from the siddur, but you didn't realize you were doing tefillah. The words of the siddur are critical, but that's not what tefillah is. Let me give a mashal to help appreciate this. Think about someone you've met, someone you've known for a long time, spent a lot of time together, been friends for a long time. First time you met him, can you remember what you spoke about? Likely not. Likely not. But there was a good vibe, and there was good interaction. Right? Go on a first date with a young woman, at the right time, Ritz Hashem. What you talk about is often secondary to the vibe, right? Or you meet someone, a potential business partner. Right? So sometimes, what's really important is the conversation. We need to talk tachlis. What your ideas, my ideas, what you bring to the table, what I bring to the table, let's figure out if this makes sense or not. Sometimes the conversation is about content. But a lot of times, content is secondary to just the vibe, the spending time together. I mean, you're not just going to sit down for coffee with someone and stare at them for 2 hours. Obviously, you're going to have conversation. But conversation often is the method instead of the essence. That's what Tfiyat Ram is telling us with Reb Chaim's insight. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is, at its core, a chance to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a date with God. We have a standing 3 times a day coffee date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We get to sit down for with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for coffee three times a day. We're not just going to sit there and stand there and stare at a Rosh Hashanah. We're gonna talk. And there's a certain minimum conversation that's prescribed, and that's Shmona Esrei. But Shmona Esrei is how we do tefillah. It's not what tefillah is. What tefillah is an aware is spending time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being in conversation, being face to face as or the Omid Lifnei Hashchina. And I would leave you with the following challenge. Give the following thing a try. We spoke before about a cheshbon hanefesh, a very practical cheshbon hanefesh, literally a calculation we can make about the first topic we looked at. Right? How much of what I talk about with others is about people as opposed to things of greater substance. Here's another challenge. I would call it a 2 minute a week challenge. Now you guys are pretty busy, maybe, but probably you can all afford 2 minutes a week, 8 minutes a month. Imagine if for 5 seconds before you start Shmoneh Esrei, you just did nothing but think. You're always moving, we're always talking, there's something to say. Steps four, steps back, just stop. And just think, no deep Kabbalah, just think about the fact, simple, profound, I am about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. About to be face to face with Rosh Hashanah. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not, 5 seconds doesn't sound so long. We're so unused to just stopping and thinking that it can at first time feel like an eternity. 5 seconds per tefillah. 15 seconds a day, less than 2 minutes a week. To bring me back to what that conversation is supposed to be, to re-inject the essence of that conversation. And I would suggest that these two techniques, thinking about looking at where my conversation with others is, and making sure that my conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are very powerful pieces of bezichron, literally bezichron dvarim elu nashuv lehitiv. Thinking about where Klal Yisrael has been and decisions we have made, think about those things and think about these words, bezichron dvarim elu. If one could be, if one could read a Rambam with a Hasidic eye. If we become more conscious of how we speak with others, about others, and how we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an awareness that we're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can hopefully make positive changes in our path going forward, and we daven that will in turn evoke a change in the nature of these days of Tanis to the days of Sasan. Thank you so much. I'm glad to stick around for questions.